It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This time Winker cranks it. It's a no-doubt shot. Upper deck, 2-0.
Jesse Winker, the Buffalo native. If you need a reason to root for somebody, maybe you're already rooting for the Mets because they're kind of they're an underdog story right now. Jesse Winker hits a home run yesterday. Solo shot. Buffalo native, of course. Born in Buffalo. I think he moved to Florida when he was a kid, but like 8 or 9, I think, before that happened. So Buffalo native, he's been on the station before, and cool to see him contributing for the Mets. The Mets are in action a little bit later on. They can take a 3-1 series lead. Are these best of 7 series? I should know that. I don't actually even know. Yes? Thank you, Zach. All right, so 2-1 Mets over the Phillies. This Royals-Yankees game we've been talking about today, Game 5, I will be in attendance for that game if we get there, so hopeful for that. 803-0550 is the phone number. I'm going to roll through some more of your calls in a moment here. I think I just noticed something, though, that I hadn't noticed yet from the Bills-Texans game. And Brian Baldinger was breaking down the Bills on Twitter, the Baldy breakdowns. There are 3 plays at the end where they threw it, and Baldinger is saying like they should have been running, run out the clock, and get to overtime. Well, now that I'm looking at this first down play, I had been focusing on the second down play. The second down play for me was the most egregious play they had because it's down the field to Mac Hollins, super low percentage, and there were 2 guys open for quick hitters for 5-6 yards. Justin Shorter had, there was an Tyrell Shavers was coming open over the middle of the field. Anticipation throw to him would have had the first down if it was a nice pass by Allen. So I've got 4 better options on that second down play. The first down play, though, I had not noticed it until now. Man, Tyrell Shavers could have really been the hero of this game. Because, as I mentioned, on second down, he has just started his break when Allen is loading up to throw it down the field to Hollins. And if Allen instead is looking at Shavers and he throws that ball with anticipation, Shavers has the first down, and bam, he's at least, you know, a mild hero because he's getting you out of that situation. First down, he runs a slant, and the middle of the field by the Texans has been completely vacated. Are they in man coverage, maybe? Whatever it is, Shavers has the inside. And I think, again, it would be like a 5-6 yard play, or if Allen held the ball for another second, maybe it could have been even a bigger play. Man, Shavers on first and second down looked like he was open. I don't know how much criticism I want to levy against Allen for that, though, because, you know, you're standing in your own end zone. You only have 2 seconds, maybe, to make your decision because you know you can't take a safety. You take a safety, the game's over. And that's embarrassing in its own way. So, you know, ball's got to come out quick. In his defense, you don't have time to look at everybody. You simply don't. You don't have time to go through all your reads, to go through four different receivers. And of the guys on the field, I can understand why Shavers was not on the top of his mind to get open. Practice squad guy that got elevated, played a few snaps, you know, you wouldn't be, your instinct wouldn't be to look at him in the most critical spot. So he's open, but I also understand why he didn't get the ball. 803-0550 is the phone number on the Bills offense, which has looked putrid for two straight games. Jeremy and Joe, Jeremy duck out a little bit earlier. Let's get to Andrew in Rochester. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, good morning, Joe. How are you?
Morning, good.
So when Brady was in Carolina, he used CMC out of the slot a lot. And I'm just wondering why we don't go maybe empty with James Cook, especially when teams are playing man coverage. Put him on a linebacker, give him the choice routes that he was given McCaffrey. If you're worried about, you know, the protection, you know, you bring in Alec Anderson a lot, or the, your 12 personnel a lot. You know, you can have Anderson or Knox stand and block. I would just like, you know, kind of like to see more Cook in the slot or out wide and get him on a linebacker. And if they have to switch up and put a nickel backer on him, now you have Kincaid on a linebacker, and that helps your matchups. So that's kind of all I got.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Andrew, for the call. I think part of the problem is you already have so many players where you could argue their best is in the slot. So to throw the running back into that as well, it just doesn't... Cook is interesting for his usage in the pass game in general. I do think if you look at the totality of his career, and you even look back to his college career, where it was completely misrepresented how much of a pass-catching back he was in college. I remember looking up the numbers on this about a year ago, that James Cook was talked about as a receiving back out of Georgia, and if you looked at the difference between his targets and his rush attempts, he was nowhere near the, you know, your third down back type guys, your, you know, J.D. McKissick was always the one comparison. If you looked at J.D. McKissick in college or in the pros, if you looked at Austin Eckler, if you looked at, McCaffrey even, you looked at some of the other good pass-catching backs of the last few years, James Cook was never near this in college or in the pros.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in, service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It maybe has been exaggerated how good of a pass-catching back he is. I think he's good. Don't get me wrong. I think he's a good pass-catching back. Is he great? Is he one of the best in the league? I would not say that. He had, in college, he had 230 rush attempts and he had 67 receptions. He never had a season in Georgia with more than 27 catches. I mean, the split, he was a runner. He just was the backup runner. Behind Zamir White, I think, was the guy. And then he shows up in the NFL, and the Bills talked about him like he could be a great receiving back, but then they got him on the field at practice, they got him on the field at training camp, they got him on the field in the season, and what did you see? A guy that throughout his three-year career has 400 carries and 99 targets, 76 receptions. He's a runner. He's a good pass catcher, but I do not need to force him into a receiver role. He's smooth. I think he's a good route runner. I would not quite want to call him super explosive, and he has drop problems. He has major drop problems. So all of that, like, he's not the guy I'm looking for more from in the receiving game. He's doing fine. He's going to end up with 35, 40 catches on the year, and to me, that's enough. The guys you need more from, it's Kincaid, and it's, I think, Coleman, because Coleman's the only other one I would have any expectation. Well, no, Samuel. Samuel's the other one. Coleman's a rookie. Coleman, though, you know, second-round rookie, feet under his, you know, start to get your feet wet a little bit. Maybe by the middle of the year, end of the year, you're producing more. It's what happened with Rashee Rice last season. So Coleman, there could be more growth. And then Kincaid and Samuel, like, those are the ones where they should be producing already. And it's not happening nearly to the degree that you would hope. I mean, if I told you at the beginning of the year, those two, Kincaid and Samuel, your highest drafted pass catcher and your highest paid pass catcher. If I told you that going into week six, that they had combined for 24 catches and like 220 yards, you would think there might be a single game where they combined for 220 yards, not a month. Mo in New Jersey's next up. What's up, Mo?
Hey, good morning. How's it going?
Good. Thanks, Mo.
So, you know, you guys have touched on that a little bit throughout, well, a lot actually throughout this morning. You know, the Jets, with the firing of their coach, the coaching bump they should get from, you know, replacing Sala. You know, it's been documented, I guess, you know, 16 and 13 the last 29 times it's happened, whatever it is. You know, if we go into Monday night and lose that game, I don't want to hear about a coaching bump, okay? There's no more excuses that's left for this team. I feel like for the entire time that we've had McDermott and Josh Allen together, we find reasons, you know, for why, and then we accept those reasons and we live with it. I think I'm at the point where there's no more excuses. I don't want to hear it. If we don't have the results that we expect, then we need to take a serious look at what's going on with the team. I think the chemistry of the team is fine, but I think the makeup of the team is what's the problem. And, you know, whether or not we address the wide receiver issue this year, you know, I think it's just inexcusable to waste yet another year of Josh's prime, you know, without getting him these, you know, these, you need wide receivers in this league. You know, the first 3 weeks was cute, you know, everybody eats, but clearly, you know, it's feast or famine. That's what it seems like. So I don't want to hear about the coaching bump. Go into New Jersey, get that win. Let's get the season back on track, and let's, you know, let's go. But I don't want to hear anything about a coaching bump or any other reason if we lose.
Thanks, Mo. Thanks, Mo, for the call. I'm with you. I don't want to give too much credit to it. I think it should be much more important that they have an offensive coordinator that is sinking them. They have a coach coordinator problem in New York, and nothing they did at head coach to me affects that. So yeah, will they be more motivated? You know, maybe, but yeah, I'm with you. I think what's more, I'm not saying it's completely irrelevant and it's completely worthless. I just think it's more relevant and it's more worthwhile to talk about how they have an old quarterback that can't move, is off target, by the way, on a bunch. Doug Farrar broke down a play in this Vikings-Jets game last week that was critical, where Rodgers had a check down option to Breece Hall, who was uncovered in the middle of the field, had 20 yards probably, if he just checked it down to him. And instead, Rodgers went for this very difficult out route to Mike Williams that he missed by 10 yards. He's had a horrible game. Three picks. The play at the end of the game, well, the pick six was bad, but the play that ends the game for the Jets against the Vikings, if you saw it, it is, you're driving, you're down six, you could still win the game. You got a shot, you got time too. And what does he go for? He goes for a jump ball, I guess, to Mike Williams, but he underthrows it by 5 yards, and like the Jet receiver, he can't even get near the ball. Gilmore actually goes to the ground to catch it. Gilmore is in front of the Jet receiver, and he has to go to the ground to catch the ball. It was such a bad ball. Horribly placed. Bad decision in the first place, but horribly placed football. Rodgers is shot. I don't know any other way to say it. He's shot. Is he the worst quarterback in the league? No. He could put a few drives together here and there, but in today's game, you're seeing numbers that point to having a quarterback that can scramble is more important than it ever has been. Rushing, this was a point in the first few games, how, hey, rushing is up, but effectiveness of running back rushes are not up. It's all quarterbacks. It's all, hey, Kyler Murray is breaking off all these big runs, and Jalen Hurts and Allen, and Lamar Jackson's running for 100 yards, and all Jaden Daniels now enters the league, and he's got 250 yards through the first month of the year. It's look at all the quarterbacks and how effective they are now at running. It's more important than it ever has been. And that's running the ball. That's not even just scrambling out of the pocket to extend passing plays. Rodgers can't even do that. I just don't know how you win in today's NFL where you have a quarterback that you can't move out of the pocket. It's so difficult. Like, there are ways to do it. The Lions are proving it. The Lions have a quarterback in Jared Goff that can't really move. He's kind of a statue. But how do the Lions get away with that? They have a top five offensive line in the league. They can protect him as good as anybody. And the Jets don't have that. So the combination of a 40-year-old quarterback that can't move, that maybe his arm isn't what it once was, and a line in front of him that is average at best, but probably even below average, you're seeing a team that can't move the football. You're seeing a team that has scored the same amount of points that they did 1 year ago. That's true, by the way. 96 is the number. Through five games last year with Zach Wilson at quarterback, the Jets scored 96 points. This year, with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, it's 96 points. None of this has to do with Robert Saleh. This is all Nathaniel Hackett, and it's all Aaron Rodgers to me. 803-0550 is the phone number. Extendo Sports when we come back here on WGR.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.